Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Let's go to Matthew 13:21. This isn't in my message, but I felt like I needed to share this because sometimes people hear the promises of God and they hear the good things of God, and they agree with them, and they get excited about them, and then all these problems happen, and they wonder why. So I wanted to share a couple of passages with you, because in the mouth of two or three witnesses, we let every word be established. So I wanted to share a couple of passages with you so that you're not shocked when bad things happen when you first hear the word. And understand this, the devil does hate you, but he's more interested in stopping the word of God than he is just stopping you. Okay, because he wants to deceive people and darken people, and when we obey the truth and walk in the light, then we become a witness to the world. And the world sees the Bible even if they're not reading it through you. So that's why the enemy wants to stop the word of God in you. Does that make sense? So I'll prove it to you right here. Matthew chapter 13, verse 21. I got it on my sticky note. Not even in my real notes, just a sticky note. But I was praying this morning. I really felt like I need to share this. I'm going to start in verse 19. It says, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches it away, snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when what? Tribulation or persecution arises because of the word." Because of the word. How many have heard a good promise from God and you got excited about it, and then it looked like you had something go wrong against the very promise that you received? That's the reason why right there. It's just the devil. Somebody say, it's just the devil. Now people go, well, don't say that. Yeah, you got to understand who you are in Christ. And understand this, persecution will come because of the word's sake. Now, we're going to talk about not doubting, and so this will tie in here. But you need to understand this. If you're going to overcome the enemy, then you need to stay with the word even though the persecution came. Do you know what staying with the word of God does? It develops, now you saw it here, the person that gave up the word had what? No root in themselves. The word of God did not have root in them. Do you know what persecution and when persecution comes and you stay with the word, you know what happens to you? The word of God takes root in you. Does that make sense? Okay, so I wanted you to see that. Let's go to Mark real quick. And this is the same passage, just in a different author here. Same author, I guess, different writer. Mark chapter 4. Do you ever notice that a lot of the New Testament, you'll see the same scripture in different places? I wonder if God was trying to make a point of repeating himself. People are like, yeah, I got it the first time. And yet he wrote it down how many times? Okay, Mark 4, verse number 17, says this. I'll start in verse 16. "These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground." So we see the same description here. "Who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and then they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when what? Tribulation or persecution arises for what? The word's sake, then what happens? They stumble." Do you know that you didn't stumble until you let go of the promise of God? Do you know a trial can come in your life and a temptation can come, but that doesn't mean you stumbled? It just means that the opportunity is there to stumble. If you stick with the word of God, you'll be fine. Yeah, but I don't feel like it. Right, it's not a you're not living by feeling, you're living by faith. That's why Christianity is called the faith. Amen. It's not called the feeling. It's called the faith. It's the message of faith. So you can overcome anything you're going through with the promises of God if you stick with it. Amen. Okay, let's go to Matthew chapter 14. You got to backtrack now. We're going to read our passage. We're talking about why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? And we got this. I got this title out of Matthew chapter 14, where Peter walked on the water. How many of you've all heard that story before? Of course, you've been here in the last couple of weeks, but you're familiar with it. And it says this. I'm going to start reading in verse number. I'm going to skip down to verse 25 for time's sake. It says, "Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a ghost,' and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid.' And Peter said to him, Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' So he said, 'Come,' and when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, and he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.'" Verse number 31. "And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, 'O you of little faith, why did you doubt?' And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased." Now, you see where I got the title for the message right there. Jesus asked Peter a question. Why did you doubt? Now, I've already said this a couple of times, but I'm going to say it again here just for repetitious sake. But Jesus was not just saying, "Peter, why did you doubt?" Okay, we got to get this harsh picture of Jesus out of our minds, you know? I mean, Jesus could be stern and be strong. How many are you've been strong with your kids before? You discipline them, you get after them. But that doesn't mean you got to be harsh with them. Jesus was not being harsh with Peter. Jesus was asking Peter a question. And when I read it, it's like the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, and kind of gave me the sense of the tone that's there, you know, because we're not hearing Jesus say these words, but the author of the book lives in you. So you can know how they came across. Plus, we know God is love, right? And love is what? Patient and kind and gentle. It's not self-seeking. So Jesus is not just looking at Peter going, "I know how to walk by faith and you're not. Why aren't you doing it?" That's not what he's doing. In love, he's instructing Peter how to come to a place of faith instead of doubt. That's what he's doing. And we know this because Jesus reached down and picked Peter up, right? He took him up out of the water. He didn't let him gargle salt water for a half hour first, you know? He wasn't like, "Learn how to swim, boy." Okay, that's not what happened. What happened was, is Jesus reached down and picked him up. Why? Because Jesus is not interested in you drowning. He's interested in pulling you up to where he is. And anybody that's a true leader and a true minister or child of God will do the same for you. It's not that we don't see faults in each other. It's that we look for ways to make the person better. Does that make sense? Make them better. Give them instruction so that they can make decisions to live a better life that are from the Word of God, not from our own head. Amen? Not from our own emotion. Now, sometimes the truth of the Word can be confrontational to your mind and to your emotion. But the reality is, if you allow that to take place and let the Word of God kind of correct you and, so to speak, spank you a little bit, you know what I mean, discipline you, you will. If you get your heart and mind in line with the Word, you will find that massive freedom comes to you. Because Jesus came to give you life and life more abundantly, not to give you burdens and them in abundance. How many have noticed there's already enough burdens in the world? You say, "Yeah, I know." Just wake up. That's all you got to do in the morning is wake up. That's why Jesus wrote, "Sufficient for the day is the worry thereof." In other words, don't add to it. There's enough trouble in a day. Don't worry about it. "Yeah, but it's serious." Well, eternity's forever, and if you're born again, you're safe. Amen. The Bible says that we have no fear of death. We've been delivered from the fear of death and bondage. You know, when you walk in the fullness of that, you won't fear anything. Plane wrecks, train wrecks, automobile wrecks. I just did a movie title right there, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. It's an old one. Some of the young people are like, "Huh?" Okay. So you understand, you don't have to fear anything when you're in Him. So allow the Word of God to correct you. Allow it to teach you. Allow it to come through the ministry gifts that God's placed in the body of Christ to lift you up higher. Amen. Don't just get, oh, the preacher said this. Okay, but did he say a scripture? Did she say a scripture? Was it in context? Was it a representation of God? Is it a command to you? Well, if it is, then take it as from the Lord. Because see, when this is all said and done, guys, you know, nobody will be able to stand before the Lord and go, well, that preacher just didn't preach that just right. That's why I didn't believe it. Do you think God is going to really allow that to affect what He does? He's going to say, look, the truth of the matter is that I delivered a word to you. And you saw the person rather than me. So when we see and hear the word of God, we need to, when we're listening to it, we not just need to look at the person who's delivering it. We need to listen to it as, hey, this is the word of God. And so I'm going to submit to it. And as you do, then your life changes. Amen. It'll break up that pride in your heart and in your mind. There's a lot of pride in the world, but it can be broken up. And everybody has to deal with it. People say, I don't have any pride. Well, there you go. You got some. Okay? You got some. You let the cat out of the bag. We see it, all right? So everybody has pride about something. All right? They're dealing with something. So allow the Word of God to really minister to you, and it'll change your life. So Jesus wasn't just, Peter, why did you doubt? He was asking him a question. Peter, think about how you got out of faith and into doubt. Now, there's two things that Jesus said here. For one, Jesus did say you were in faith, basically. You know what I mean? Because he said, why did you doubt? We know that he stepped out by faith. Because he's walking on water. How do you walk on water but by faith? You don't do it any other way. It's by faith. Now, this principle works in everything, all right? If you have a swimming pool, don't go and try and walk across the swimming pool, okay? That's not what Jesus is saying here. I don't even think, honestly, Jesus would have had Peter walk on the water except the way he asked the question. And Jesus just took the opportunity as an opportunity to teach us about faith and doubt, okay? I've heard of circumstances, not so much in America, but definitely on the mission field, where people have had to walk by faith and they've literally walked on water. I've heard of it happening. I mean, not just like random stuff. I've heard testimonies, you know what I mean? Not just off the internet, okay? Because you believe everything on the internet, right? So, not just there, but I've heard testimonies of missionaries and different ones. Actually, with my own ears from the missionary about different situations where supernatural things took place because it was necessary. Okay? It's not necessary that you walk on water across your pool. It's just not necessary. Okay? It would be cool. Okay? But God doesn't just do miracles and things like that because it's cool. He has a purpose. Amen? All right. So, he was using this as an illustration of faith. He said, why did you doubt? So Peter, why did you doubt? Think about how you started in faith and what got you into doubt. How many of you ever had a promise given to you by the Lord and you still haven't seen it come to pass? And you can hear the Lord saying in it, why did you doubt? Now, what do we know so that there's no condemnation here in Christ Jesus? Amen. What do we know? We know that Jesus is not looking for that word to not come to pass in your life. In other words, if he gave you a promise about a specific thing, Jesus is not now saying, oh, you doubted, and so I'll put it to you like this. Did Jesus let Peter drown? And he's not going to let you either. Does that make sense? If you cry out to him, if you return to him, if you focus and hook back up again, he won't let you drown either. Thank God. Amen. I could have drowned a few times already, but he's been faithful to pull me up by the hand. You know what I mean? So doubt, what does it mean? We talked about this. Doubt means to duplicate. It means to waver. Doubt is, if you look in the Greek on this word, it's where we get our word double. So basically what Jesus was saying to Peter was, why did you double? What do you mean by that? Well, think about it. Jesus is walking on the water. Peter's in the boat. Jesus said, if it's you, tell me to come. Jesus says what? Come. How does faith come? By hearing and hearing the Word of God. And you know what that actually is? It's the word of Christ is the correct translation there. The word of the anointed one and his anointing. Who is Jesus? He is the Christ. So when Peter heard that word, what came with it? Faith. So what did that word do? It empowered Peter to walk on the water to Jesus. What caused Peter to begin to double? He began to look at Jesus and then feel the waves and look down. And then look at Jesus. Do you see what's happening? He's getting two things going on. Friend, listen to me. The promise of God does not guarantee that you won't have a trial. The promise of God guarantees a way out. But if you're going to double, you're going to doubt. Does that make sense? If you're going to double, if you're going to try and feel the promise one day and then not feel it the next, you're going to end up missing the promise. That's what Jesus is telling us right here. Let's look at another scripture just to prove this, because we want to have two at least. How about that? James chapter 1. Let's go there. And then I'm going to share about Abraham and Sarah with you, and then we'll be done. These truths are so awesome. If you take them and apply them, they will change your life. Amen? While you're going to James chapter 1, I'm going to read out of the... I got these. This is called the Passion Translation. I got these for Christmas. And a whole box full of 9mm rounds. Because everybody knows you need a Bible and military rounds, or a military box full of rounds for your pistol. I'm a good American. Okay? That's all I can say. All right. I've got the right to bear arms. I'm not bearing arms right now, just so you know. All right. I'm just having fun. Don't go political, Sean. I can't help it. I can get along with anybody. Did you know that? All right. Matthew, or you're in James 1, but I'm going to read Matthew 14 here, verse number 30 in the Passion Translation. Just listen to this real quick. You hold your place there in James 1, but listen to this. It says, but when he realized, I'll start in verse 29. It says, come and join me, Jesus replied. So Peter stepped out onto the water and began to walk toward Jesus. But when he realized how high the waves were, he became frightened and started to sink. You'll always notice that fear and doubt go together. They just do. They're buddies. And faith and joy always go together. Because you say, why is that? Because when someone's happy, they're expecting something. Did you watch your kids before Christmas? Did you watch your kids when you put the presents under the tree? They don't walk by the tree like, oh man, look at all those presents. I can't believe this. No, they got joy. Why? Do they know what's in the present? They may have an idea. I guess it depends on if they look or not. We have a rule in our house. You look, it goes back. Why? I gotta teach them to wait and be honest. All right. Anyway, okay, so I'm telling stories. I got to get back to this. But when he realized how high the waves were, he became frightened and started to sink. Save me, Lord, he cried out. Jesus immediately stretched out his hand, didn't wait, immediately did it, and lifted him up and said, what little faith you have. Now listen to this. Why would you let doubt win? That's a good translation. Why would you let doubt win? Now this helps me. Because I like competition. I really like competition. I do. I like sports. I like games. I don't care if the game is against my kid and it's Battleship. I want to win. You do understand, all right? So for me, this verse really spoke to me because I'm competitive. So you say, what are you competing against? The devil. Now I have a really unfair advantage. I've got the resurrected Christ inside of me. I've got the Word of God on my side, and I've got the Holy Ghost with me and the angels of heaven with me. But the question is, and this is good for people, think of it in this terms. When doubt comes to you, think, am I going to let this win? Because doubt is not just something that's, you know, like a abstract force. It's a motivation of the Spirit from Satan. It is the offspring of Satan, is what it is. It's his way of doing. And we are in a faith fight. The Bible says fight the good fight of what? Faith. Okay? So you got to lay hold of those promises and hang on to them and don't let go of them. How many have, I know there's a lot of controversy over pit bull dogs, okay? But you know, pit bull dogs have jaws that lock. It's cool, right? It is cool. Have you seen their heads? You know, they're just big and massive. There's this pit bull dog that I saw, I think it's a pit bull, on some video or something. They call him the Hulk. He's like 176 pounds, solid muscle. And but just a teddy bear. You know what I mean? They got a bunch of kids. It's just a sweet dog. It's just how you raise the dog. But they have jaws that what? Lock. So once the dog locks down on what it wants, it's really hard to get it out, right? That's how you need to be with the promises of God against the enemy. You just need to lock down on them and not let go. And then we're going to see how to respond to trials and tribulations here. Because remember, wind and waves are going to happen in your life. But what are you going to lock on to? Are you going to let doubt win? Are you going to let fear win? Are you going to let, oh, I was raised this way, win? Are you going to let, well, my parents abandoned me, win? Are you going to let all these things that the world says are okay excuses to quit and give up win? Or are you going to let faith win? Are you going to stand in the middle of your situation and go, no? 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes I was healed. No, Philippians 4:19 says that he supplies all my need according to his riches in glory. No, Galatians says that I have the fruit of the Spirit. And it is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. No, the Scripture says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Scripture says, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. That Jesus came to give me life and life more abundantly. That the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That I am to submit to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from me. If you are in faith, you lock onto that, and you kick doubt out. And sometimes, friend, I'll just be honest with you, it takes days and days of doing that. But listen, you'll be so happy when you're dancing in freedom land. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, when the Israelites finally possessed the promised land, they lived in houses they didn't build. Come on. They lived in houses they didn't build. Come on. They ate fruit and crops and had livestock that they didn't raise or plant. You say, what is that? That is a picture of grace. Because grace is a gift. You say, well, how come I don't have it? Because you got to go get it by faith. Amen. See, I'm not looking at weak people. And you better get that mentality out of your mind. I'm looking at fighters. You say, we're going to fight each other? No. We're going to love each other and fight the devil. Does that make sense? That's what we're going to do. And get it out of your mind. This is the hardest thing that I overcame and still am overcoming, and that I've noticed with people in the faith camp, in people who understand or who are learning to walk by faith, is that they have a tendency to constantly go back to how they feel and read the circumstance and determine if the promise is right or not based on the circumstances. Can't do that. Do you feel saved every day? If you do, you're doing better than me. I don't. Well, how do you know you're saved, Sean? Because I believe in my heart and I've confessed with my mouth. Jesus made me a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, right? If any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creation. All old things have passed away and all things have become new and all things are of God. Well, you didn't look like it last week. I know, but it's still there. It's still there. All I have to do is access it and live it. Well, I'm going to act like it's so. We took 100,000 pictures on Christmas Eve. That could be my least favorite thing to do in the world. You know, because you're already dressed up anyway. After the Christmas Eve service, I immediately loosened my tie because I had a tie on, you know. And I don't mind wearing nice clothes, but that tie after a while, you're like, you know. Loosen it a little bit. And anyway, then we got to Heidi's parents' house afterwards, and of course they want to take more pictures. I'm like, man. I was like, we just paid for professional pictures. Why are we taking pictures? And Heidi's grandma is there, and she's in her 80s, and she likes to get after me, which it's her job. She's allowed to. She's earned the right. She put up with me for years. And she prays for me a lot because she prays for our ministry and stuff like that. And she said, "Now, Sean, this is a patience test." And you got to know me. Like I said, I'm competitive. But I'm like a lawyer. I should have been a lawyer, I think. If I want to argue with you, I can make the argue go on for hours, even if I don't know what we're talking about. People say, "Is that a gift or a curse?" You know, well, it depends on what you put inside the box. So I'm going back and forth with her because she's a preacher too. So she, you know, she can keep going and keep going with me. But she was right and I was wrong. I never admitted it, but I'm admitting it now. Maybe I should ever. My patience is out, Grammy. My patience is out. No more pictures. All right. So anyway. But that's an area where I get to practice the promises and not be moved by what I feel. Okay, James chapter 1. Talking about doubt. James chapter 1. We're going to see the exact same word here used, double, in this verse. Faith versus doubt. And you're going to see much of the similar things, just without the actual illustration of Peter sinking into the water. I mean, Jesus had the best sermon illustrations, you know? I don't have anybody up here sinking. Me pulling him out of the water, he had the best ones. All right, so anyway, James says this, verse number 1, it says, "James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings." Verse number 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Can we read that one again? "Count it all joy when you fall into various trials." How many people do that? How many people have you walked up to, or I've done this many times, "Are you a Christian?" "Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian." "You believe the Bible?" "Yeah." And when they go through trials, what do? They boohoo. It's not fair. Listen, welcome to planet Earth. Nothing's fair at this point. Whoever told you that it was going to be fair, lied. We're on the planet. You know what the difference is for us? You say, "That's kind of depressing, Sean." No, we have a way out. It's depressing for the rest of the world because they don't have a way out. They have no way out. But God has given us His promises, and by faith, if we attach ourselves to them and don't let go of them, lock down on them, we will see God's hand move in our situation, and He'll deliver us from the evil that comes against us. Amen. But you have to do what He said. Did I write this book? No. It's always been kind of a conflict for me internally when I deal with different people or preach different messages. Because you can feel some people, they're just like, "No, I'm not going to do that." But you're not telling me no. I used to take it personally. I'm getting better at not. I'm not preaching my word. In fact, I wouldn't even believe what I say unless I give you scripture for it. Amen. People are like, "Well, you're the pastor." Yeah, that's just a few steps below God. Okay? I'm being sarcastic, okay? Some of you are like, "I don't quite get it." In other words, no, nobody's higher than this. Nobody. Not the Pope. God bless him. I love him. Not the Pope, though. He's not higher than this. He's not. God is supreme, and the Bible says in Psalms, we just read it in our Bible reading, that He exalted His word above His own name. Isn't that something? So this is trustworthy. So if Jesus, don't imagine me saying this to you. Imagine Christ saying this to you. Don't even think, "Well, James the apostle wrote it." No, no. Actually, these are the words of the Holy Ghost straight from God the Father. This is the word. It's Jesus Christ. So what did He say to you? Count it all. Do you know why you have to count it, joy? Because it doesn't feel like it. And what are you doing? Come on, think with me now. People are like, "Yeah, I'm just going to bear down and I'm going to do it." Well, that's good, but let's think of it like this. What are you doing when you do that? You are pleasing God. People say, oh, then he'll do something for me. And he does stuff for you because he loves you. But it's your opportunity to love him back. Does that make sense? When you obey, you're loving him back. You're loving him back. When you disobey, you're saying, eh, people don't like that. See, they don't like it. But Jesus said himself, if you love me, keep my commandments. Come on. But see, and now people, there's this wrong balance that it's in people's minds and it gets twisted. But people think, well, then God doesn't love me anymore. No, his love for you is unconditional. Your love for him is what's in question. People say, well, if I live in sin and I'm born again and I keep living this way, then God's going to kill me. No, sin has its own reward. The wages of sin is death. We say, I'm going to hell. Probably not. Not if you're born again. But you're just going to shorten and hinder your influence in life here. Does that make sense? Because you reap what you... Yeah. So you can have faith in your heart that Jesus is Lord and choose to rebel against his other commands here on earth. It'll cost you. And that's not God's fault. It's yours or it's mine. Because he has given you the power to obey. Amen? I know that was really exciting. But that was a truth that if you grab onto it, it will change your life forever. Okay, so when you fall into various trials, not if, but when, because it's going to happen, because there's snares out there, there's things that the enemy's setting up to try and stop you and destroy you and to really what? Attack the word and get the word out of your life. But I'm not letting the word out of my life. How about you? Don't let the word out. So knowing that, the testing of your faith produces patience. So you got to think about what it's doing for you when you obey. And what the trials are doing for you, if you respond according to the word of God, the trial will be a test to your faith, but it will produce patience in you, which is character for you, which makes you stronger. So you can take what the enemy meant for evil, and God will what? Turn it for your good. Turn it for your good. He'll turn it for your good. And you can do this in every area of your life. It doesn't matter if you're older or still in high school, you can apply these principles. You can apply them to sports. You can apply them to grades. You can apply them to your classes. You can apply them to your job. You can apply everywhere you have trials. You have that person on your team, sports team, that annoys you. Guess what you get to practice? Patience in the midst of trial. Trial may have a name. Steve. I don't know. It may be supervisor. It may be boss. I don't know what the trial is. But you can count it joy and allow what you're going through, allow the Lord to work through you, through what you're going through, so that you can be stronger by the time you get done. Amen? And that's what this is. This is what faith is. So he says, count it all joy, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work. What are you supposed to let patience do? Have its perfect work. That you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. What is the end result? You are what? That doesn't mean faultless. It just simply means that you are completely mature. You are whole. You have come to the place of maturity. Now, and then you say, oh, good, we got through that testing. Good, you're ready for the next level. Come on. Some people are like, I don't want another test. Well, if you whoop this one that you're in, you won't mind going to the next one because you'll be strong enough for it. Guys, listen, David took a bunch of just misfit people and turned them into giant slayers. They were farmers. They were all sorts of mess. You could almost say like they were like the worst of the worst. They didn't really have any true discipline to their life or anything like that. And David, who killed Goliath, turned all these men that followed and submitted to his leadership into giant slayers. Have you ever read about the mighty men of David? It is awesome. I mean, kill a lion with your bare hands type awesome. Take on guys multitudes of Philistines with three guys just to get a bottle of water for David. I mean, three guys took out multiple Philistines. There's no movie today that compares to the stories that are the truths that are in the Bible. God can take you from a place, if you cooperate with Him, of being weak and scared and undisciplined to a place of slaying giants. You say, well, I'm gonna be a preacher? Not necessarily. Why don't you just be a giant slayer wherever you're at? And if God wants to make you a preacher, nobody can stop it. If you'll agree with Him. Amen? So you can be strong. He'll take you to that place. Verse number 5 says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him what? Ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a what? A wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a what? Double-minded man, and he is what? What are double-minded people? They're unstable. Well, it's this way. No, it's that way. What do we know from this then about doubt? Doubt makes you double-mindedness, it is, and it makes you what? Unstable. So what would make you stable? Single-mindedness. I'm going to focus on one thing. What was the thing that made Peter sink? Jesus, wind and waves. Jesus, wind and waves. Could Peter have walked all the way to Jesus, turned around, and walked back with him to the boat? Yes. The answer is yes. Do you know you can do the same thing? You can walk all the way with Jesus, turn around, and walk all the way back with him if you have one mind with him, one focus. Now realize, everything in the world that the enemy can stir up, he's going to try. Why? He doesn't want this word to work. He doesn't want this word to work. He doesn't want you to receive the good things of God. And this is where most people disconnect from God, right here. They get into life. They get into things that are going on. They have kids. They're married. They got bills. They got this. They got that. Those are all natural things, and you need to have your focus on one thing. When you have your focus on God, you can take care of your kids. When you have your focus on God, your bills are not an issue. When you have your focus on God, you can deal with that job. You can deal with those coworkers. When you have your focus on God, you're strong in Him and in the power of His might, and the things of the earth don't overtake you. But when you start scanning outside the radar of the promise, you're going to get yourself in trouble. That water's going to start creeping up on you. Amen? All you have to do is refocus. And when you refocus, you'll have victory. And guess what? I can't do it for you. I got to do it for myself. Now, I can agree with you, and I'll be glad to pray and use my faith. I'm talking about using my faith. I'm not talking about like, oh, God, I wish it would be. That's not faith. That's doubt. Faith goes, Lord, you said it. I believe it. That settles it. Has it changed in 3 months? Nope. But the Bible says when you've done all you can to stand, stand. Well, what if I got to the end of my life and I didn't see what it was that I was believing for come to pass? Well, at least you stood in faith the whole way. Like one guy said, that cowboy died with his boots on. I said, what do you mean by that? He was doing the work. He was believing. He was getting after it. He wasn't laid up crying, feeling sorry for himself. Amen. And that's you. You're not lay up, cry, feel sorry for yourself. You're strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's who you are. Now, you got to get that focus and stay there. And don't let your spouse or anybody else talk you out of it. You say, my spouse will talk me out of it? Sure they will. If they're not focused that day, they'll talk you out of it. You just got to pray for them. Say, I love you, sweetie, but that's not what the word says. People are like, that's confrontational. Well, the Lord did come to divide us. Didn't he? Oh, you better search your Bible and find out if it's true or not. It's in there. You say, you know a lot of scripture. I make sure I know a lot of scripture. Why? Because I went to a school where you better get full and full. And I don't memorize it either. I just read it so much that it's there. You know? Amen? So, if you're double-minded, you're unstable. So let me give you a couple of things here. We're almost done. We got about 5 minutes. You hang on for 5 more minutes? Who will give me 5 more minutes? I show 5, 10, 15. Okay, I got 15. I'm just teasing. All right. 5 more minutes. All right. How about this? If we value comfort more than character, then trials will upset us. If we value the material and the physical more than the spiritual, we will not be able to count it all joy. If we live only for the present and forget the future, then trials will make us bitter, not better. I like that. Immature people are always impatient. Oh man, this is so good. Mature people are patient and persistent. Listen to this. Impatience and unbelief usually go together. Impatience and unbelief go hand in hand. You know, it's through faith and patience that you inherit the promises of God. So of course, impatience and unbelief are going to go together. Amen? James, talking about doubt, says this. These are actually commentaries that I've read on this. He says this, James not only explained what to ask for in wisdom, but he also described how to ask. We are to ask in faith. We do not have to be afraid, for God is anxious to answer, and he will never scold us. He gives us more grace. He gives us more and more wisdom. The greatest enemy to answered prayer is unbelief. I read that out of a Baptist commentary. You say, why is that? Well, you're against the Baptists. No, it's just that they're not known for the faith message. I love the Baptists. They know how to win souls. We're going to learn how to win souls. Amen. We are. I'm going to do it. I'm going to head that way. All right. What about this? He says this. When Peter started his walk of faith, he kept his eyes on Christ. But when he was distracted by the wind and waves, he ceased to walk by faith and he began to sink. He was double-minded and almost drowned. Many Christians live like corks on the waves, up 1 minute, down the next, tossed back and forth. This kind of experience is evidence of immaturity. That's a commentary. I found some good ones, man. I'm telling you, I can't read them all because there's too much there. But it's a mark that you're immature in an area. You say, "Don't call me immature." I'm not. I'm trying to help you get mature. But you have to recognize where you are in order to assess where you're at. It's just like what Jesus said. Peter, why did you doubt? So Peter can go back and go, why did I doubt? Okay, I know what happened. I was looking at Jesus, and then I started feeling the waves hit my legs, and I started looking around. Oh, yeah. And when I started looking down, then I started to sink, and then I got afraid. And see what I'm saying? So Jesus was doing what James is doing here. He's helping you look into the mirror of the Word so that you can look and go, oh, that's why that situation fell apart, because I was immature and didn't walk in the love of Christ. You see that? It's about helping you grow. If I really love you, I'll tell you the truth. Not what you want to hear. You know, some people just want to be pampered along through life. I just don't want to have to do anything. You are going to get worked if you're a Christian because the enemy is just going to tear you apart. There is a responsibility on the believer to grow and to participate and obey God. Amen. There's a responsibility there. Let's read one more passage here. Romans 4, verse 13. And I'd encourage you to go back over and over this verse and just read it and read it and read it in the context of what we've learned about doubt Because this is an example of somebody who did not doubt. And he's our father of faith. It's Abraham. I'm going to read this one more commentary to you on James. It says this. He who doubts is like a wave that is rising one moment, sinking the next. One minute he believes, another minute he does not. He says yes and then no to what God has promised. Never making up his mind which way he believes, listen to this, he staggers like a drunken man, helpless in prayer. You ever seen a good drunk person? I mean really drunk, you know what I mean? Everybody's that sanctified in here? Am I the only one ever? I mean, so you've always been somewhere, something going on. I mean, really, I had a friend of mine got so drunk one time. This was before we were saved, okay? We do not do that anymore, all right? He was so, we were holding him up. Because he had to go to the bathroom and he couldn't stand. So we got him in the bathroom and then we walked away, you know, because we were like, okay, we got you up in there. We came back in. He had fell backwards into the tub. Totally took out the curtain and everything. You know what I mean? That's sometimes what Christians are like with the promises of God. They're like, oh, yeah, I'm standing and believing. And, oh, something happened. I'm over here. And, oh, maybe God's going to do it. Oh, maybe he's not. That is doubt. I thought this is, God said he was going to do something, but look at how bad the situation is. That's right. You went from promise to circumstance. That is staggering like a drunken man at the promise of God. You're up one minute. You remember the cork? You're down the next. What does the wave of the sea do? Up and down. Up and down. Left and right. Well, how are we doing today? I don't know. How are we doing today? Oh, I'm doing good. Oh, tomorrow, we don't know. That's not stability, that's immaturity. Stable believers settle in and they don't let this stuff move them out here. They allow the Spirit of God to lead them in here and the Word of God to direct them with light. Amen? So Romans 4. Did you get there? I'm sure you did. You're fast. Romans chapter 4, verse number 13. I'll just read it here. It says, it was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world. In fact, you know what? I'm going to cut it even shorter. I was going to read more commentary on this, but I just don't have time. So I'm going to read it out of the Passion Translation. I got this one for Christmas too. But it says this. Verse 13, God promised Abraham and his descendants that they would have an heir who would reign over the world. This royal promise was not fulfilled because Abraham kept all the law, but through the righteousness that was transferred by faith. For if keeping the law earns the inheritance, then faith is robbed of its power and the promise becomes useless. Listen to me closely. Faith and the promise were in effect before the law. Okay? The promise was given by faith. It wasn't given by the law. That's why Jesus and we're saved by faith now, okay? Because Abraham was 500 years before the law, all right? Just so you know that. A little history for you. All right, so, for if keeping the law earns the inheritance, then faith is robbed of its power and the promise becomes useless. For the law provokes punishment, and it does, and where no law exists, there cannot be a violation of the law. That's why everybody wants to take the Ten Commandments down. Come on, think about it. I can't violate it if it's not there. It doesn't change the fact that it's still there. The law governs people who refuse to receive Christ. That's why we need it. All right. That's my second little political point today. All right. So verse 16 says, the promise depends on faith so that it can be experienced as a grace gift. I love that. And now it extends to all the descendants of Abraham. This promise is not only meant for those who obey the law, in other words, the Jews, but also for those who enter in by the faith of Abraham, which is you and me, unless you're a Jew. That's what the scripture means when it says, I have made you the father of many nations. Listen to this. He is our example and father. For in God's presence, this is Abraham, he believed that God can raise the dead and call into being the things that don't even exist yet. Abraham says this about Abraham and Sarah. Against all odds, when it looked hopeless, Abraham believed the promise and expected God to fulfill it. What is he doing? He's in faith. He believed God and what? Expected God to do. What is he not doing? He's not doubling. He's not doubting. He's believing God. He got the promise. I know what it is. This is the direction that I'm going. And then it says this. He expected God to fulfill it. And then it says, he took God at his word. And as a result, he became the father of many nations. God's declaration over him came to pass. Your descendants will be so many that they will be impossible to count, which is us. In spite of being nearly 100 years old, now that's old, when the promise of having a son was made, come on, he's 100 years old, and God says to him, you're going to have a son. And what did God, Abraham do? He didn't go, well, Lord, look how old I am. He said, no, you promised it, you're going to do it. Now look at this, I'm going to prove it to you right here. In spite of being nearly 100 years old when the promise of having a son was made, his faith was so strong that it could not be undermined by the fact that he and Sarah were incapable of conceiving a child. Can I ask you a question? Does it really matter your condition if God gives the promise? No. What is Abraham doing here? He's not even considering this, the natural, the condition. He's just looking at one. That's it. He's just looking at one. Then it says this. He didn't even care about his body. He never stopped believing God's promise, for he was made strong in his faith to father a child. How did he father a child? He was made strong in his, which means what? Which means he got a zap of life at over 100 years old and had a kid. Come on, how many 100-year-olds you know? And we're going to go have a kid. Yeah, but you're 100 and your wife's like 98. But God said, you see, this is faith. This is faith. I'm not saying that 100-year-old people need to have kids. This is faith. It doesn't matter if your circumstance is bad. If you focus on it, it will eat you alive. But if you focus on him, you'll walk right over the top of it like Peter did. Come on. And because he was mighty in faith and convinced that God had all power needed to fulfill his promise, Abraham glorified God. So he was convinced, you can stand with me, he was convinced that God would do what he said, that God had power to do what he said, that God would fulfill his promises. He was convinced. He was so convinced that when his relatives came up to him and said, Abraham, you're like 120, brother. Maybe you should just hang him up. Give it up. But he was so convinced that he stuck with God. And God came through for him. And I'm telling you today, this is what I felt like the Lord was saying in this. If you stick with God, he will come through for you. And you say, what do I need to do? Count it joy and don't be distracted. Count it joy, what do you mean? Okay, when you're by yourself, I want you to practice this when you're by yourself, all right? And you don't even have to do it loud if you don't want to. You know, if you're like, got other people around in the house or you just don't want to do it loud, that's fine. Count it joy when troubles come. How do you count something joy? Let me ask you this. What expression does joy have? Smile. Ever seen a happy kid, like a real happy kid, and they're excited about something? What do? They have joy. What do? They don't just smile. What do? Ha, ha, ha. They laugh. They laugh. See, when you understand the one who loves you and gave you the promise, when the trial comes, you can go, oh, come on. Come on. It's joy. And the Bible actually calls it joy unspeakable and full of glory. Psalms 126 actually says that they were so, when the Lord delivered the captivity, they let Zion loose, it says their mouths were filled with laughter. What does that mean? If your mouth is full of laughter, can there be anything else in it? If the cup is full of milk, can you pour in a whole bunch of other things to fill? No, the cup's already full. So if your mouth is full of laughter, what else is in it? Nothing. just joy. And listen, friend, the joy doesn't come from the circumstance. It comes from the promise and the power of the Holy Spirit in you. And when you respond that way by faith, God will stretch out His right hand into your problem and begin to correct everything. You're giving Him access to you. It is a powerful spiritual principle that Faith Family Church is going to spread all over this city and this state. We will. The Lord told me, Sean, part of your call and this church's call is to help establish faith. Why? Because people are hurting and they need freedom and they need answers, not psychology. They need the Word of God. They don't need another medication. They need freedom from the Word. They need freedom from the anointing. But, you know, one preacher can't do it all. It takes everybody working together and believing together. And that's why we teach on these things. If people go, I'm bored, I want to hear about something else, then you will miss out on what God has. I'm not going to miss out. Guys, if you don't know this about me yet, you'll find it out. Once I figured the Lord told me to do it, it wouldn't matter if I showed up and Heidi was there preaching and the kids were in there and Faith Kids and it was just us. I'm going to do it. Why? It's the only way people get free. And it is the only way you will get free and then help lead others to freedom. It's the only way. You've got to be all in with Him. All in. I'm all in. I am all in. Listen to me. Come hell or high water, I am all in. I've been through too much and believed God for too long not to be all in. I mean, I've seen things that looked like it was going to destroy my first child's life, and I watched God heal her. Oh, I love to fight. I mean, not with you. I love to fight the enemy. I love it. Why? I woke up this morning and didn't feel good at all. And I said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm strong in the Lord. Why? I take it personally. It's not that it's like, oh God, please. He's like, there's the sword, son. Pick it up. Ah, pick up the sword. There's the shield, boy. Pick it up. Okay. Then we will. How are you going to make it happen? I don't have to know how. I just got to know who. And He is the one. All things are possible with Him. And all things are possible to him that believes. And I hope there's a fire stirring in you right now. Even if you don't even have to say hallelujah. I just want it to burn when you go. That's all I want. Amen? Are we good? Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for today. Lord, we purpose to just ignore negative feelings. And just reject them and rub them off and shove them off. And those thoughts that try to harass us, we speak to them and say, leave in Jesus' name. Lord, this week, when we have opportunities where trials come up, we're not going to forget this word you spoke to us. Holy Spirit, you bring all things to our remembrance. Thank you that you bring back joy. And on the inside, we'll just go, ha, 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 ha. We'll let it out of our mouths. Ha, 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 ha. My God is more than enough. He will see me through. It may be that I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but devil, listen to me. I don't care what I feel. I will fear no evil. For the Lord is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. His word and his spirit, they comfort me. 1,000 may fall at my right hand and 10,000 on the other side, but Lord, you'll protect me and mine. And Lord, I speak that over this group here today. That they are under the shelter of the Most High. Oh, glory to God. Lord, that they are blessed and highly favored of you. That they are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That though these weapons have formed, they will not prosper. We turn them back in Jesus' name. Standing on the Word, focused, not double. We thank you for your anointing and your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week. Don't forget Wednesday, and then we'll be back next Sunday, and it will be the new year. So, blessings.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.